The Lord be with you. As Larry played, did you hear how he built on the bass that he started with, that first melody? He added notes and built on top of it. But it all fit together. It was one whole piece of music. That's what jazz is. There's a foundation that carries through, and you can have a solo off that. The book of Acts that we heard from is like a piece of jazz music based on the rhythm of Jesus' life. Paul says to the Colossians, Jesus Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. Jesus is the beginning. He's the foundation, the cornerstone, and everything builds on that. And we see this in the books of Luke and Acts. In the book of Luke, we get the pattern of Jesus' life, the rhythm of how Jesus lived. And then we see it repeated in the book of Acts, in the disciples' lives. And it's built on and it grows through the Holy Spirit. So let's just look at a passage from the book of Luke and a passage from Acts chapter 4 that we heard. So listen to that first rhythm and hear how it gets repeated. So one day Jesus is in the temple teaching the people. Another day, Peter and John are in the temple courtyard teaching the people. And Jesus announces the good news. Then in Acts, Peter and John are teaching the people that because Jesus rose from the dead, people can be raised from the dead too. And the chief priests, these elders and teachers of the law, the rulers, they question Jesus. That same group of people in Acts, they question Peter and John. Jesus replies with a question. He asks them a question. And again in Acts, the rulers and leaders ask Peter a question. They respond with a question too. And the leaders, they discuss among themselves, what should we say? And they're afraid of the people. They're afraid of the crowds. So they say, we don't know. And in Acts, the leaders do the same thing. They huddle up. They discuss, what should we say? And they're speechless. They don't know how to punish Peter and John, so they let them go. Do you see how the pattern of Jesus' life gets replayed again through the disciples in Acts? That's the rhythm of Jesus being carried on in the church. Now, both stories are about power and authority. Who has the power and authority to control salvation, to control the future? Who's really in charge? Now, you have this group of leaders. They are the smartest and most educated men in Israel. They live in Jerusalem, the center of power. They work in the temple. They went to the best school. They have the right last name. They have all the connections. They have money. They have power. They have influence. These are powerful men. And they're the ones who get to say who's in and out. Right? They're the gatekeepers of the temple. And then you have Jesus and his followers. They're all from Galilee, this backcountry on the margins of Israel. None of them come from the right families. None of them have a great education. None of them are scholars. They don't have connections. They don't have money. They don't have power. So if these two come face to face, who are you going to bet on? These ordinary men from Galilee or these powerful, educated men? We know the answer. We know the answer. But these men are afraid. They're afraid of Jesus. They're afraid of Peter and John. They're afraid of the people. Why would they be afraid? Because Jesus and Peter and John and the apostles are challenging the status quo. They're pushing back against the way things are. And that is dangerous. That scares the rulers, the priests, the teachers, the elders. Because these disciples are talking about a different future. They're preaching about a new kingdom that's coming, where the poor and the sick won't be dependent on the rich and the powerful, but where they'll be set free to live a full life. They're talking about a different kind of world, where kings ride on donkeys, where children are the ones who lead the way. It's a different kind of world. It's a world upside down from the one they knew. It's a world where women's voices matter, that they are among Jesus' followers. It's a world where God's Spirit isn't just for the prophets and the kings, but that God's Spirit is for all people. This is a scary world to these powerful rulers. And they're afraid. They're afraid because the people are hungry for that world. The crowd is waiting for that world. And it scares these powerful men. Because they know in that world, if that world is true, if that world is coming, their power would slip away. Their control on the future would slip away. And they're afraid, and we know what that fear makes them do to Jesus. We know the story. They arrest Jesus. They beat him. They humiliate him. They execute him. So we should expect the same for Jesus' followers. Yet Peter, this ordinary fisherman, stands up with boldness and speaks truth to the powerful men. He has courage to speak the truth, even though he knows what they did to Jesus. He has courage. The Holy Spirit fills him to speak truth. You nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, but God raised him from the dead. The Holy Spirit gives him the courage, and the resurrection of Jesus gives him the hope that he can face these powerful men without fear. As I read this story in Acts, I felt so far away, because I don't know what it's like to stand up to powerful people. I don't know what it's like to feel threatened for speaking the truth. I felt a distance, but as I thought about this story, I know there are Christians who have faced powers, who have stood up. And I thought of our brother Seppa. Seppa, would you come forward? I asked Seppa if he would share some of his story of what it meant to follow Jesus in the Democratic Republic of Congo. If you don't know, Seppa was a pastor, a church planter. And Seppa, you've told me before what it meant to follow Jesus and how you had to stand up for truth. Can you share some of that?
Yeah. It's very difficult to be a church leader and a follower of Jesus Christ in a country where, I mean, the human authority tends to be, I mean, higher and tends to dominate, to take over. So myself, because of telling the truth, I was most of the time invited and also sometimes arrested for a few minutes for telling the truth. And as the pastor said, if Jesus himself was, I mean, executed, and we as Christian, as we follow Jesus, it's not strange, it's obvious that the power, these human authorities, the human government will try to persecute us and try to, I mean, stop us from telling us, telling the truth. The way we advocate, the way we tell stories about Jesus, we talk about the good news, this government, these political officials are not happy. They are there to oppress people.
Yeah. What was something that you said that the government didn't like?
So in our country, as you know, we have sexual violences. The country is number one in the world for sexual violences. And whenever you say, you tell the truth, because I was working with international organizations, and I couldn't keep quiet. I had to tell the truth. Wherever I go, I say, hey, they did this. And whenever you come back, you are in trouble. Because they don't want, I mean, there are problems to be known all over the world. So you tell the truth, you are in trouble.
Mm. And what gave you courage? What gave your and your
church? What gave me courage is that I had trust in God. My confidence was in God, and I was not worried because I know whatever comes in against me, I mean, I will overcome because I know that I'm with Christ. As we heard about disciples, they overcame because they were with Christ. And when you have Christ, you have God in your life, you are always the winner.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Seppa. Yes. Yeah. Can we thank Seppa for sure? Thank you for that testimony to remind us here that following Jesus comes at a cost. And it's God's Spirit, it's Jesus who gives us hope to stand. Now, most of us don't know what it's like to face those threats. But every one of us, every day, faces powers. We all face powers in our lives. Have you heard of hard power and soft power? Have you heard of these terms? Let me tell you, hard power is the power of armies, the power of militaries and weapons, the powers of threats and governments, the powers of politicians. This is strong power, it's force. It intimidates us. And this power exists in the world. It's the power that Jesus faced. It's the power that Peter and the apostles face. It's obvious. Some of us have faced this power. If violence came to our home and we had to leave, this is hard power. But there's also soft power. Maybe you can't see, but there's someone whispering here. Soft power is the power to twist or seduce or pull. So if hard power pushes you, soft power pulls you. And we all know soft power. It's the whisper of envy. You see someone else and you hear, oh, their life is better than mine. I want what they have. Or it's the whisper of entitlement. You deserve this. Don't worry what they think. It's the power of self-centeredness. Don't worry about their problems. You don't have time for that. Just take care of yourself. You're really the only one that matters. These whispers we hear, it's the whisper of self-hatred. You're not good enough. Just look at you. What do you have to offer? God can't use you. It's these lies we hear whispered. It's the whisper of spiritual apathy. You don't have to go to worship today. Just relax. You don't need to read the Bible each night. You don't have time to pray. God can't expect you to fast. That's just for special Christians. These whispers. Listen to what Paul says to the Ephesians. Our struggle is not against human beings. It's against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world. It is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly world. Yes, Satan works through hard powers like governments and authorities, but Satan also works through whispers and lies. Satan tries to twist the truth. We see that with Jesus in the desert when Satan whispers lies. Just jump off. Prove that you're the Son of God. Turn this stone into bread. These whispers of lies. Jesus also faced the hard powers, the rulers and authorities. He faced the Sanhedrin and he faced Pontius Pilate. And Jesus stood his ground. How did Jesus have the strength to stand against the powers? Well, we know before he faced the Sanhedrin and Pontius Pilate, what was he doing the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was on his knees praying all night. He was on his knees. That's how he could stand. What about the disciples? How could they stand? How could Peter stand up to the powers? Because he was on his knees waiting for 40 days for the Holy Spirit, praying. Depending on God, that's the rhythm of Jesus' life. Depending on God, that should be the rhythm of our life. To go to the Word, to get down on our knees in prayer, that's how we can stand to face the powers. That's how we'll know the truth, to speak against Satan's lies in our lives. To depend on God. I don't know what powers you're facing today. Maybe it's financial stress or depression. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's anxiety about the future. I don't know what powers you're facing today. But I do know that if all of us are going to stand, we can't do it on our own strength. We need to rely on the Lord. Paul continues, and he says this to the Ephesians, "So put on all of God's armor. Evil days will come. The powers will push against you or try to pull you in, but you'll be able to stand up against anything. Why? Because Jesus stood up. Because Jesus faced every power for us. Because Jesus endured suffering. He endured death. Because Jesus rose from the dead. Because Jesus went up to heaven, and Jesus is seated on the throne, which means that he has power over every power. Jesus, he is the truth over every lie. Jesus has authority over every authority in this world. That's why we can stand. That's why we can have the boldness to speak truth. Because Jesus is risen. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.